Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph.
E-mail.
Vous allez entendre l'expression e-mail, qui signifie electronic mail, courrier électronique. E-mail. Et répétez. Repeat. E-mail. Une phrase utile quand il s'agit de e-mail. To check the e-mail. Jeter un coup d'œil sur le courrier électronique. Le vérifier. To check. Le regarder. To check the e-mail. To open your email, l'ouvrir. Let's check our email.
Let's check our email. We have an email from Susan Shaw in Chicago.
Jetons un coup d'œil sur notre courrier électronique. Si vous n'avez pas une adresse électronique chez vous, il est fort possible que vous avez accès à cette boîte aux lettres sur un site comme Yahoo ou Hotmail. Et que vous allez vérifier votre adresse e-mail régulièrement lorsque vous vous rendez à un cyber café, à un cybercafé. Have you checked your email? Avez-vous vérifié votre courrier électronique? You have an email from your friend. Vous avez une lettre électronique d'un ami. Écoutez la conversation qui suit dans un bureau.
Good morning, Max. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Just fine.
Vous avez entendu la façon dont on se dit bonjour le matin dans un bureau? Good morning, Max. Bonjour, Max. How are you today? Comment allez-vous aujourd'hui? Ou bien, comment vas-tu aujourd'hui? Fine, thank you. Bien, merci. And you? Et vous? Et toi? Just fine. Bien. Just fine. C'est littéralement tout simplement bien. Écoutez le reste de la conversation. Listen.
Now let's check our email. We have an email from Susan Shaw in Chicago. Max, she has a question for you. Her question is, do you come from Los Angeles?
Do I come from Los Angeles? No, I don't. I come from San Francisco. I don't come from Los Angeles.
Une autre façon de demander à quelqu'un d'où il vient ou d'où elle vient, quand on a l'impression d'être presque sûr de l'origine d'une personne, c'est de dire « Do you come from Dakar ?» Vous venez, tu viens de Dakar ? En fait, on s'attend alors à une confirmation et vous pouvez répondre positivement « Yes, I do !» ou bien négativement « No, I do not !» En contraction, no, I don't. I come from Guinea. I don't come from Dakar. Répétez après moi. Do you come from Gabon? No, I don't. I come from Congo. Écoutez, listen. Écoutez, Kathy.
Do you come from Los Angeles?
Do I come from Los Angeles? No, I don't. I come from San Francisco. I don't come from Los Angeles.
Et quand on n'a aucune idée d'où vient une personne, on demande la question générale. Where do you come from? D'où venez-vous? D'où viens-tu? Come from signifie venir de. Where do you come from? C'est assez différent que « Do you come from Dakar ?» Vous venez de Dakar ? Écoutez, listen.
Where do you come from ?
I come from San Francisco.
Where do you come from ?
I come from New York.
Where do you come from ?
I come from California.
Where do you come from?
I come from the U.S.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. Daouda est le plus célèbre boucher de Bantouka. Metou est une fidèle cliente, mais pas facile à satisfaire. Nous allons écouter la conversation. Vous répondrez par vrai ou faux, true ou false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. Metou avait acheté de la bonne viande avec Daouda. 2. Daouda essaya de vendre à Metou de la viande de poulet. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. Combien de kilos de viande d'agneau Metou veut-elle? 2. Pourquoi Daouda propose-t-il du foie à Metou? 3. Pour Metou, à quoi ressemble la viande du lapin accroché? Vous entendrez comment utiliser le mode impératif. Vous entendrez aussi le vocabulaire relatif à la boucherie.
Come on, come on, come and buy, ladies and gentlemen, I have the best fresh meat from Bantouka.
Hi, Daouda. Today, I'll take 2 kilos of tender lamb leg.
What's the occasion, Metou? Is it Valentine's Day or Women's Day?
Every day is Valentine's Day for me and for my husband.
Really? I can see that.
I'd like to prepare a special dish tonight.
I have everything you need. Beef, veal, mutton, even chicken and rabbit.
Didn't you sell me horse meat last time? I cooked it for 3 hours. It was too hard for my poor little old husband.
Metou, sister, buy him some leather. It would take you less time to cook and it's easier on the stomach.
Don't start again now, you sneaky salesman. Be polite.
Okay, Metou, don't worry. I have fresh mutton for you. Look at it. Did you say 2 kilos?
Yes, please. Say, what's that meat over there?
Rabbit. It's a whole rabbit. You want one? You'll be the first client. Come on, what will it be? Cutlet or legs?
No, thank you, Daouda. That hanging thing looks like a cat.
A cat? That's too exotic. I just sell common meat. And you know, everything has been controlled at the slaughterhouse.
Oh, please. When did the government build a slaughterhouse in Bantouka?
I have onions, charcoal, potatoes, pepper.
I thought you were a butcher. This butcher shop looks more like a bazaar.
We don't sell anything bizarre here.
Nous avons entendu dans ce dialogue le boucher Daouda et la cliente Metou. L'énoncé 1 est faux. Metou avait acheté de la bonne viande tendre avec Daouda. L'énoncé 2 est faux. Daouda essaya de vendre à Metou de la viande de poulet. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Combien de kilos de viande d'agneau Metou veut-elle? 2 kilos. 2. Pourquoi Daouda propose-t-il du foie à Metou? Ça prend moins de temps à cuire. 3. Pour Metou, à quoi ressemble la viande du lapin accroché? À un chat. Nous allons maintenant apprendre le vocabulaire de la viande utilisé par Daouda et leur traduction anglaise. Écoutez et répétez. Viande de bœuf, beef. Viande de veau, veal. Viande de mouton, mutton. Foie, liver. Poulet, chicken. Viande de lapin, rabbit. Répétons enfin ces phrases de Daouda et de Metou.
Come and buy, come and buy. Buy him some leather.
Don't start again now.
Look at it.
Ces phrases sont à l'impératif. Elles expriment ici une invitation, une mise en garde, un conseil. L'utilisation de l'impératif à la deuxième personne est simple et le sujet n'est pas exprimé. Nous avons entendu Daoda et sa fidèle cliente, Metu. Vous avez appris le vocabulaire de la boucherie et aussi appris comment utiliser l'impératif pour exprimer une invitation, une mise en garde ou un conseil. Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Aujourd'hui, nous accompagnons Martin Lerner à bord d'une plateforme de forage, en anglais offshore rig. Offshore rig, dans le golfe du Mexique, in the Gulf of Mexico. Il va interroger un pilote d'hélicoptère. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington, au micro Michel Joseph. Au cours de cette leçon, vous allez apprendre d'autres termes relatifs aux professions, aux métiers et aux domaines de l'emploi. Par exemple, une expression de base, « What do you do ?»« Que faites-vous ?» Ou bien, « What's your job ?»« Quel est votre travail ?» Autre expression, « Tell me about your work ?» « Parlez-moi de votre travail. » « What is it like ?» C'est comment ou que faites-vous dans votre travail?
Let's go inside. It's quiet inside.
Good idea.
What does everyone do?
Tell me all about this oil rig.
I can't tell you all about it. I'm just a helicopter pilot. We'll ask some of the workers. They can tell you what they do.
Where is the rig exactly?
We're in the Gulf of Mexico, about 100 miles from Texas and Mexico. This is called an offshore rig. The workers on the rig are drilling for oil in the Gulf.
Is that like drilling for oil on land?
I think so. We can ask the men working here. You have all these machines and equipment drilling for oil, but we're in the middle of all this water.
Do the men live here?
Yes, for a short time. Then they have vacation at their homes on land. That's one of the things I do. I take them back and forth to land. It's like going to a job in another city.
Does the rig stay here when they find oil?
Not this rig. This is a drilling rig. When they find oil, this rig goes to another place. They bring another rig for pumping the oil. The work is different.
Do some men live on that rig?
Yes, a smaller number of men live on that rig.
The rig has to be very strong, doesn't it?
Of course. There are many storms here. The rig must be very strong.
What is your job?
I pilot the helicopter. That's it. I fly from Texas or Louisiana to the rig. Then I go back. I bring men, supplies, equipment, whatever's needed. I take the workers back and forth. I fly the owners here to the rig sometimes. I carry the supervisors back to meetings.
Is there a lot of flying?
Every day. People go back and forth all the time. There's always something to carry. Would you like to take a tour of the rig?
I would like that very much.
I'll find a supervisor.
Vous pouvez poser des questions assez simples concernant le travail ou la profession de quelqu'un. Par exemple, what do you do? Je pense que vous connaissez bien maintenant. Qu'est-ce que vous faites? Quelle est votre profession? Écoutez ces exemples qui suivent.
What do you do?
I fly a helicopter.
What is your job?
I'm a helicopter pilot.
Essayez de répondre aux questions de Martin Lerner. Par exemple, il vous demandera what do you do? Répondez comme vous pouvez.
What do you do? Do you have a job? What is your job? Thanks. That was very interesting. May I ask some questions about being a pilot?
Sure.
Continuons dans ce domaine de travail et des questions qui ont attrait à votre travail ou vos activités professionnelles. On recommence par la question de base qui est bien sûr « What do you do ?» Que faites-vous ? « What do you do ?» Ou bien « Tell me about your work. Tell me about it. Tell me about your work. » Vous pouvez répéter après moi. Vous êtes avec un ami ou une amie. Et vous êtes à leur endroit de travail, mais vous ne savez pas tout à fait ce qu'ils font. Alors, vous leur demandez « Tell me about your work. What is it like? What is it like? » Qu'est-ce que c'est comme travail? What is your job? Là, dans le contexte même ou le lieu du travail, vous ne comprenez pas tout à fait ce que fait votre ami ou votre amie et vous lui dites What is your job? Quel est votre travail? Ou bien, si vous connaissez la profession de votre ami, vous leur dites, OK, par exemple, You are a mechanic. Vous êtes mécanicien. You are a mechanic. Tell me about your job. Dites-moi un peu ce que vous faites dans votre travail. Tell me about your job. What do you do? La personne pourrait répondre, I repair machines. I repair engines. Des machines, des engins. Je répare des engins. Ou bien, I fix equipment. Je répare des équipements de bateau ou quelconque. You're a mechanic. Tell me about your job. What do you do? Do you repair machines? Do you repair engines? Do you fix equipment? Ou bien, si vous demandez la question, What is your job? Les réponses possibles sont infimes. Par exemple, I'm a pilot. Je suis pilote. I'm a mechanic. Je suis mécanicien. I'm an engineer. I'm a doctor. Je suis médecin. I'm a teacher. Je suis enseignant. I'm a lawyer. Je suis avocat. I'm a farmer. Je suis fermier. I'm a businessman. Je suis un homme d'affaires. Ou bien, I'm a businesswoman. Je suis une femme d'affaires. I'm a director. Je suis un directeur. What is your job? C'est la question que vous demanderez à la personne. What is your job? What do you do? Tell me about your work. What is it like? Welcome back to lesson number 66, part 2, on The Voice of America. Nous retrouvons maintenant Martin Lerner en conversation avec un pilote d'hélicoptère, a helicopter pilot. Ils sont à bord d'une plateforme de forage, un offshore rig, dans le golfe du Mexique. Vous allez vous familiariser avec les expressions concernant le travail et l'emploi. What do you do? Qu'est-ce que vous faites? Autre question que demande par exemple Martin Lerner au pilote. How long have you been a pilot? Depuis combien de temps êtes-vous pilote? How long have you been a pilot? Autre question. What kind of training do you have? Quelle formation avez-vous reçue? What kind of training do you have? Tell me about your work. Parlez-moi de votre travail. Écoutez.
This is very comfortable, and the coffee is good. Thanks. Are all the men working?
Some are working. Some are sleeping. Nobody comes here after lunch. The men come here after work. It'll be busy soon.
What about the men who work at night?
Sometimes they come early in the morning, but they usually come after they sleep.
How long have you been a pilot?
A helicopter pilot? 18 years. I flew before that, though.
What do you mean?
I had a pilot's license before I became a helicopter pilot. I flew light airplanes. You know, the little ones.
When did you start flying?
When I was 15 years old.
Maintenant, exercez-vous à poser des questions. Rappelez-vous la question clé. What do you do? Qu'est-ce que vous faites? Martin vous présentera deux individus qui travaillent sur une plateforme de forage, un offshore rig. Vous leur demanderez ce qu'ils font. Attention, les voilà.
Hello, this is Charlie. This is Billy Mitchell. This is Saul Yoder.
What do you do? Que faites-vous comme travail? What kind of training do you have? Quelle formation avez-vous? Tell me about your work. Parlez-moi de votre travail. Ce sont là des questions de base lorsque vous vous renseignez d'une personne et de son travail. Bonne chance et pratiquez comme vous le pouvez. Until next time.
Welcome back to Anglais Télé. Je suis Michelle Joseph. I'm Michelle Joseph, and I have a special guest here.
Je suis Daniel Crafton. Bienvenue aussi.
Merci, Daniel. Bienvenue, and welcome to Anglais Télé. We're talking about Daniel's favorite subject, travel or movement, and we have arrived at the train, I believe.
Right, the train.
The train or the metro in some cases, right?
Right. But the metro's local and the train could be for the whole country.
Okay, let's distinguish between local. A metro is local, meaning it's for that particular city.
Or region of the city, even.
Or region, right.
Yeah, it could be more than a city.
Right, because, for example, in Washington, the metro extends into Maryland. It extends into Virginia.
In Paris, it extends about 80 miles.
Absolutely. I think I took the metro.
Way out into the suburbs.
Right. So the metro and train look somewhat alike, right?
Right.
You have an engine. You have a first car, which has the
engineer.
Engineer, and then several train wagons. They call them cars, actually.
Right. Where they ride.
Right, so train cars or metro cars, that is the term you use for the wagons, actually, right?
Right. The only difference is that a train usually goes much, much farther than the metro.
Okay. And I think the metro's fast.
So is a train.
Right. Some trains are extremely fast, actually. Okay. Well, do you like the boats? Do you like boats, Daniel?
I don't go on many boats.
Oh,
I'm not a good swimmer, but boats are necessary.
Boats can be very useful in areas where there's a lot of water. Sometimes you have rivers in a city.
Especially in Africa.
Right. And then sometimes you have the ocean helping people to provide a means of transportation on a boat or a ferry. And you can reach another city further up the coastline, right?
Or another country.
Or another country. Boats, I get seasick personally. I don't do well on boats because of the movement of water.
Yeah, I know.
That makes me seasick.
I used to work on a boat, but after the first day, I wasn't seasick anymore.
Okay, so one can adapt to this.
You take this medicine and...
Oh, motion sickness medicine.
It's called, in English, it's called Dramamine.
Dramamine, okay.
Or motion sickness medicine.
Motion sickness medicine, yeah. Because you have this constant movement of the water.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And if you don't sit, then the water movement won't get to your inner ear.
Oh, that's it, because we actually have our own water in our eardrums.
Right. And when that moves, we don't see things solidly. They also move.
Okay, so it's like...
Right. So then you can't walk sometimes because the room is moving because your inner ear is bad because of the sickness.
Right. I'm not very fond of boats, I have to say.
No, right.
Boats are not very close to my heart.
I've been on one cruise in my life. It was a youth cruise.
Ah.
And I'm in my 50s.
Uh-huh.
And I was the youngest person on this cruise.
Oh.
So I never went on another one.
Right. The cruise, I think maybe our listeners have heard of these fantastic cruises. Bahamas cruise.
Right.
I think there's a Queen Elizabeth cruise.
There's a Mediterranean cruise.
Yeah, these are huge, immense boats where, you know, how many people can get on those?
Thousands.
Thousands of people.
5,000 on the one that sunk.
Oh, my goodness. It's kind of like a city on the water.
It is, and you can get everything.
Yeah.
You can eat and drink and watch movies and bowl and party and...
All right, let's go boating.
Right, right. And dance, you can do everything
on these boats.
Yeah, right.
Well, I kept the best for last, and, you know, what do you think about flying?
Well, I don't like the part of getting on. But I love to fly.
Okay, now, how do we fly? On what mode of transportation?
A plane.
Do we fly? A plane, exactly.
Right. An
avion.
Wings.
Okay, it has wings and it looks like a bird.
Right, but the wings don't flap.
Right, the wings don't flap. Instead, you have a motor and you have pilots.
Right.
Okay, well, the planes are huge and they're very helpful.
And they go a long ways.
Right, because we can go from one country or one continent to another continent.
In a few hours.
In a few hours. I could say hi to my friends in DRC or Congo or N'Djamena.
In 8 or 9 hours, right?
Oh, I think it's much longer because it's closer to 14 hours.
14.
Yes.
When I go to France, it's 7.5.
Exactly. But a lot of planes going to Africa go through Europe.
Right.
And
through Germany or France or England.
And we have to add that time. So you have maybe 6, 7, 8 hours to Europe.
Right.
And then another 8 hours.
To Central Africa.
Exactly, or Dakar, or somewhere like that.
But planes give you the ability to go visit your family.
That's true. I love planes.
Right?
I mean, I have to go on a plane to go visit my father in Trinidad.
That's not 14 hours.
No, it's about 5.
Okay, 5 hours.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Remember the song, Trains and Boats and Planes?
Dionne Warwick.
Oh, God. All right, I can't do the rest. But basically, we all need mobility. We all use transportation.
Right.
Whether it's cars, buses, planes, boats, trains, bicycles. And the aim is to get somewhere.
To go from one place to the other.
Exactly.
As quickly as possible.
Or as slowly as possible.
Or as safely as possible.
As safely as possible, too. So,
right.
You know what? With this, we're going to leave you because Dan and I are going traveling.
Right.
Yeah, we've got a date in Paris.
Yeah, right, we are.
Exactly.
I'm taking Michelle to dinner.
Okay. He's taking me to dinner on your bicycle?
Right, on my bicycle.
Oh, no, please. I'd rather take the metro.
Okay, we'll take the metro.
Okay, we'll take the metro.
Then we'll walk.
Then we'll walk.
Right.
And do you have a boat parked on La Seine?
No. Oh. Although a friend of mine, now see, there's another part about boats. We have to add this.
Okay.
Because a friend of mine has a boat on the Seine River in France, and it's a big flat boat called a barge.
A barge.
We forgot barges. And
yes.
And
absolutely.
He lives on the barge.
Okay.
On the Seine.
Not barge.
Right.
Okay, well, see you in Paris.
Okay,
Dan.
Dear.
All right, bye. And bye to all of you and enjoy your travel.
Bye to all of you, too.
Bye.
Travel safely.
Be safe.
Yeah, right.